Mr. K, ask Mr. K. It's just the way it was meant, you see. Ask Mr. K, ask Mr. K. And if you're so inclined, why not exercise his mind? And ask Mr. K, ask Mr. K.
7 minutes after 11 o'clock on Talk Radio 790. Mr. KBC with you till 1 a.m. 800-222-KABC. If you'd like to take part this hour, we're going to have a conversation with Michael Shaw, who is the Executive Vice President and Director of Marketing for Interscan Corporation. He is a molecular biologist and biochemist, and just all these stories in the news. I wanted to have someone to bounce these off. And, Michael, welcome to KABC.
Well, thanks.
So let's talk about that. I mean, every few weeks there's West Nile, mad cow, monkeypox, SARS, avian flu, now E. coli. It's all supposed to kill us all, and yet for some reason I don't know anyone who's contracted any of these diseases.
Well, there's really a lot of things going on here. Obviously, there's some legitimacy to all these threats, but some of it is that you should feel fortunate that our great healthcare system and our FDA and so on is watching out for you. And never forget that. So
I feel so much safer now. Thank you.
Some of the crises are pumped up.
Right.
And some are, if there's an opposite of pumped up, deflated, if that's what you want to call it. But healthcare is going to be the biggest industry in the country as baby boomers, people my age, get older and sicker. So it's... It's a big political deal.
You guys make the devices to, like, get rid of the anthrax at the Capitol building, that kind of stuff, right?
Well, okay. One of the best ways of killing the anthrax spores is with chlorine dioxide. However, chlorine dioxide is pretty toxic, so you have to monitor the use of that compound. So we get involved more in monitoring for leaks of these toxic chemicals. And many pesticides and many sterilants are toxic, so you have to monitor for those leaks, and that's how we kind of got involved in this whole thing.
Chlorine is a great antibacterial, right? I mean, it's cheap, it's easy, it's basically salt water and electricity, you got chlorine.
Well, it turns out that the greatest benefit of science to mankind in history is the use of chlorine to treat water. That's the single greatest accomplishment of science.
Wow, that's a pretty bold statement.
Well, I mean, if you don't have pure water, I mean, everything else is kind of secondary.
Right. That's a good point.
And people are dying of cholera and so on, and the use of chlorine to treat water is the single greatest achievement of science.
And so why, if it's just salt water and electricity, is it so toxic in concentration to humans?
Well, this is the key point. It has to be at high concentrations toxic to humans, but at lower concentrations it's toxic to the bugs. You know, if you're going to kill bugs, it's got to be toxic at some level.
Right.
And, you know, herein lies the problem. When you talk about green hospitals, when you talk about non-use of toxic chemicals, that's very nice.
But by the way, I don't know what a green hospital is, so fill me in. What is that?
Okay. One of the latest trends, as if hospitals didn't have enough problems, was that we want to have, quote-unquote, green hospitals. In other words, we don't want to have toxic chemicals. We don't want to use styrofoam cups. We want to make them very environmentally self-sustaining. Now, that's very nice, but let's worry about other things. Let's worry about getting the bugs killed. Let's worry about curing the patients. And maybe 10, 20, 30 steps down the list, we can worry about an environmentally self-sustaining hospital. But you can't get away from the fact that to kill the bugs, you have to use, to some extent, a toxic material. Even if you're going to sterilize with steam, if you put a person in a sterilizer at 120 degrees C at pressure, it would kill the person, right? So, you know, we use gasoline, which is toxic and dangerous, but we're careful about it. And we have to use some common sense. And as I tell the people around government agencies, maybe some adult supervision occasionally.
What's wrong with hospitals? Because I've been to many hospitals, and they always appear clean to my eye. Is it down to the bacterial, the microbiological levels that you have to worry about? Or can you walk into a hospital and go, this place is a cesspool of contamination?
Well, interesting you put it that way. There are some in Britain where this whole notion of hospital-acquired infections has got to be a huge problem. Where they are claiming, actually, in Britain, and the quote here is that slaughterhouses and highways in Britain are cleaner than hospitals. Now, why does this occur? If you remember, Florence Nightingale from the 19th century, mm-hmm. the wonderful model of the nurse. One of the things that she was concerned about was to keep hospitals clean, to have a certain number of feet between each hospital bed so you wouldn't get a lot of cross-contamination. These are basic concepts. However, when you're involved with the healthcare industry, you find out pretty quickly that the number one concern in healthcare, number one concern, is cost. Everything else is secondary. So if you can cram in more patients, if you can be a little less diligent about cleaning things up, maybe that saves money. And remember, if a hospital infection occurs, well, it was thought, especially 50, 60 years ago, that that was just the cost of doing business. If you put a ventilator on somebody in a certain procedure, they may well get pneumonia, but that was part of the game. As a cancer survivor for many years ago, it was felt that if you had radiation in the head and neck area, you might lose all your teeth because of various radiation effects, and that was part of the deal. Gradually, that became unacceptable, and more prophylactic measures were taken. But everything in healthcare is a fad, and even though we seem to be very tied up with all the wonderful high tech, what good does that do you if you're going to die of methicillin-resistant Staph aureus or something? And when you look at statistics like 8 to 10% of the patients get infected with some so-called nosocomial or hospital-acquired infection, that's pretty bad.
Well, explain this to me. Is that because there's just these bugs in the air, or because the instruments aren't clean, or because the nurse's hands or the doctor's hands aren't clean? Is it that basic, or is it something that's harder to detect, harder to eradicate?
All right, all of the above. Hospitals always were a center of infection because
that's where sick people go.
You have sick people.
Right.
All right, you have sick people with lower immune systems. Cross-contamination. So you always have this problem endemic. But then let's talk about how you exacerbate it. You use antibiotics too much. You develop strains of antibiotic-resistant pathogens. You have a whole generation of healthcare employees who think that, well, we don't have to clean up because we just give the patient antibiotics.
Really, there are people that work in medicine that think that way?
Oh, as a matter of fact, there are people in medicine that don't wash their hands. There are cases of reusing catheters. There's cases of, how many bad stories do you want?
But that's not commonplace. That's the exception. That's not the rule.
It may be the exception, but there, unfortunately, are a lot of exceptions. There was a case that I wrote about a couple of years ago of a so-called well-regarded heart surgeon in the New York City area that had hepatitis C. And they just couldn't get this doctor to always worry about cleanliness. And he would be infecting patients, but he was such a great surgeon, it didn't matter.
Wow. That's not the kind of thing you get the medical board comes down on you because you're spreading hepatitis C to your patients because you're not?
Well, it takes a lot of complaints. There's
really?
Not a lot of self-regulation.
Wow.
There's other issues involving the sterilization of the devices themselves. And to do things right, to really sterilize things, takes time and it's more expensive. In fact, one classic story was at Duke University Medical Center, and they're still living this down. This was unbelievable, I guess, but I suppose not to me because I've been around it, unfortunately. Some people were changing the hydraulic fluid in one of the elevators at Duke University Medical Center, and for some stupid reason, they poured out the hydraulic fluid in what were empty containers of a disinfection fluid that was put in the trash to be taken away on the floor. Inexplicably, somebody picked up these containers that had the hydraulic fluid in a marked disinfection fluid container, and used it to disinfect thousands of instruments for procedures.
Wow.
Now, of course, the question was, how good of a job did it do in disinfecting the instruments? but the other thing was that there were a number of patients that obviously procedures were done using these instruments that were dipped in hydraulic fluid, which did look sort of like the disinfection fluid. How can such a stupid mistake occur at supposedly a high-rated hospital? And then the interesting question that was never asked is, well, okay, we do this, and we had a certain rate of infection, although it wasn't that bad, so how much worse was the hydraulic fluid than the stuff they were supposed to be using anyway? How effective is that? And all kinds of questions.
See, I would think lawyers would get involved at that point. There would be such tremendous liability from lawsuits to a medical facility like that, that they would be forced to, I mean, just for their own self-preservation, they would be forced to make sure that they adhere to some high standards, or else they open themselves up to tremendous liability.
Well, you would think so. But the problem is, how do you prove that you acquired that infection in the hospital?
Well, when they're using hydraulic fluid to sterilize instruments, I think you could make a pretty strong case.
Well, in fact, it takes something that ridiculous.
Yeah.
But the problem is, and we can name various incidents. I mean, there was the sportscaster, the late sportscaster Dick Schaap, who went in for, I believe it was a hip replacement,
mm-hmm.
died of a nosocomial infection. But the problem is, how do you prove that he didn't come into the hospital with that infection and
mm-hmm.
so on?
Mm-hmm.
The hospitals don't publicize the rates of these infections.
Mm-hmm.
The public doesn't seem to be terribly concerned about it. In fact, as I mentioned to you, healthcare is one of those strange commodities that everybody wants more of it. Everybody wants it free, but nobody knows how to measure quality.
Mm.
If you go into a restaurant at 5 o'clock, you'll see elderly people getting the special early bird dinner. And they will question the waitress for 15 minutes about what kind of green beans are used in there and what's in the gravy and so on and so forth, but yet get that same person into a hospital for a procedure that may endanger their life. They won't ask anything.
Mm. 19 minutes after 11 o'clock on Talk Radio 790 with Mr. KABC. We're talking to Michael Shaw, who is the Executive Vice President and Director of Marketing for Interscan Corporation. They manufacture toxic gas detection systems. He's a molecular biologist and biochemist. And if you have a question, we'll take your call at 800-222-KABC. When we come back, and one of the things I want to ask you is, how do I protect myself or my loved ones at a hospital? And we'll find out when we come back right after we check the latest traffic right now.